are you working with?
Ooh.
And you know, I encourage you to take notes. I encourage you to write down the scriptures, to write down anything that the Lord deals with you about. You know, if something said that you're like, oh man, that just clicked with me, a phrase, scripture specifically, you know, write it down, put a star next to it. I actually will give myself parentheses if the Lord speaks something to my heart that even the minister didn't say, but the Lord deals with me and puts something on my heart. I'll even write it in my notes and I'll just indicate, like, this is what the Lord dealt with me about during service. Because then when I go back in it, I learn something from it.
Amen.
And I go, man, yeah, that's not what pastor said. That's what the Lord dealt with my own heart about through hearing my pastor.
Yeah, amen.
And so that's just a little advice when you, because you want to grow deeper into the things of the Lord. So who are you working with? You know, we can either work with God or we can work against him.
Right.
And you may say, well, duh, who wants to work against God? Well, obviously, nobody wants to work. No Christian should want to work against God.
Right.
But the truth is that many Christians, even not knowingly, will work against God.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure we leave here tonight and we're the ones who are working with God.
Yeah.
That we're moving with him. We're going to leave here tonight and we're going to be changed and we're going to go with him.
That's
and make
right.
sure that we're,
right.
you know, we're yoked together with him, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and turn to James 1. We're going to start there, James 1. You know, even good-hearted Christians will work against God, and they won't even know they were doing it. And they'll wonder why their life is falling apart, and they'll wonder why they're struggling with this, and why they've never gotten over that, or it seems like this same thing keeps coming back again and again. And they don't even know it, but sometimes they're working against God in the way they're living, in the way they're doing things.
Yeah.
They don't even know they're doing it.
Come on.
And so we don't want to be those people. So let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 21 we're going to start in.
Praise God.
It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And you know, I looked up that word meekness in there, and that word meekness means humility. It really means that when you receive the word of God, you receive it as someone who knows that his words are higher than ours, that his way is higher than our way. We look to God and we say, Lord, you are so much higher. You know so much more than I know. That's what it is. We receive the word knowing that it's coming from the ultimate authority.
Amen.
That if we come up with it, it's nowhere near what the Lord is
coming
up with.
That's right. Amen.
That's what that scripture means. You know, this is what we do. We get into the scripture. We pull out that depth of meaning in the scripture. And that's what that's saying. So lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive, knowing that that implanted word, that word from God, that ultimate word from the ultimate authority is able to save your soul.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we come to the word, we may even come to the word, Christians may even come to the word and say, oh, I know this is the ultimate authority. But then they go out and they don't even do the word.
Yeah.
And then you've deceived yourself.
Right.
So you knew the truth, but not doing it means you've deceived yourself, so the truth didn't benefit you. We don't want to be those people. That's working against God. If you don't do the word you've received, you're deceiving yourself.
Yeah.
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So if you just do, if you hear the word, come to church, you're here tonight, we're all here tonight, we're hearing the word, that's one great step, because there's a lot of seats in here that could be full of people hearing the word, and they're not hearing it. But we're doing something right here. We're hearing the word.
That's right, amen.
But if we walk out of here and we don't do the word we hear, then it's like we've looked into a mirror and then we've walked away and forgotten what we looked like.
Yeah.
You know, the word of God is called our mirror. You know, when you look into a mirror when you're getting ready in the morning or in the afternoon or before you came here tonight, you looked into the mirror, and if I had something smudged on my face, I would correct my face.
Yeah.
I didn't say the mirror was lying to me.
Right, right.
If I had something smudged on my face, in the mirror, I know, correct it, right?
Yeah.
Wipe that off my face.
Right.
I didn't say, mirror, you're lying.
That's good.
I correct myself to match what I need to see in the mirror, right?
What, yeah.
And the word of God is our mirror, so we constantly should be looking at it and how do I correct and adjust me and my appearance and my life to match this mirror.
Right.
So, but it says here, if you hear the word and don't do it, you'll forget it. You'll forget it, you know? I was thinking about this week in high school, in middle school and high school, I took 5 years of Spanish, okay? I even was in advanced Spanish for a while. I even got A's in Spanish, okay? I even would have fun conversations. I'd do all these projects. I'd do all this, you know, these tests in Spanish, and I'd get A's on them. But you know, well, it's been a little while since I graduated high school. It's been a little while since I took Spanish. I know it's been a little more than a little while since I took Spanish. You know, if you try to have a conversation with me in Spanish today, I might get bits and pieces. I might be able to figure out, oh, I think you just said that word. Yeah. I may even be able to figure out the gist of what you're saying. But I'm not going to be fluent in
it.
Right. I'm not going to be able to do anything and accomplish anything with it because I've never put it to practice.
Yeah.
See, it's the same with the Word of God. If I get the Word of God, I hear the Word of God. But if I don't go out there and put it to practice, I forget it. Right. It does nothing good for my life. I'm not effective with it. I'm not able to do anything with
it. That's right.
If I would have gone out and I would have practiced what I learned, I would have gone out and I would have done something with it, I could be standing here tonight and I could be reading these scriptures and translating them in Spanish.
Yeah.
But I never did anything with it. So I can't do that here tonight. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we can learn the Word of God. We can hear the Word of God. We can even get an A as far as quoting Scripture.
That's right.
But if we never go out there and actually do something with it, we will forget it and we'll be like the man who looked in the mirror, walked away, and forgot what he looked like.
Yeah, that's good. That's
and
good.
We don't want to be that. See, this is what I'm talking about, working with God or working against Him. We get the Word. We do the Word. We're working with God.
Yeah.
We get the Word. We refuse to do the Word. We're walking another way.
Yeah.
We're not working with God.
That's right. That's
and
right.
See, a lot of Christians live that way. And they're not even bad-hearted people.
That's
it's
right.
just that they haven't decided not to deceive themselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easier to deceive yourself
that's
than
right.
to admit
oh,
the
that's
truth.
So good. That's so good.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep reading. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And that word blessed, it means blessed. It means happy. It means fortunate. It means well off.
Amen.
You are well off.
Amen.
You're well off to do the Word.
Yeah.
You're well off when you decide, I'm going to yoke myself to God. I'm going to go on with His path. I'm going to do it His way. You're well off. You're fortunate. That's a good path to be on.
Amen.
You'll be blessed in all you do when you're doing the Word of God. Go ahead. We're going to look at John 8:31-32 again. I know we did it during announcement time, but we're going to read this in the Amplified because there's just so much that the Amplified brings out in this. The Amplified Bible is not some sacrilegious Bible. The Amplified Bible takes what the original Greek or the original Hebrew, if we're talking Old Testament, it takes what their meaning was and it squeezes every little bit it can out of it so we understand it even
That's
more.
Right.
It's like you take a lemon. We had some, we like club soda with lemons and limes in it. And we had some of that last night, and they gave us a little lemon. And we had to do everything we could do to squeeze the essence of lemon into our drink. The Amplified Bible is like taking that lemon and squeezing it, so you get more out of it, right? You could just set it in there, but we're going to get everything out of it.
Yeah.
So John 8:31-32 says, so Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, meaning you hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. See, remember, you can hold on to the teaching. You can quote the scripture. You can hang it on your walls. You can give people birthday cards that have Bible verses in them. You can even listen to it on the radio. But if you don't live in accordance with it, then you're not really his disciple. You're not really
that's
being
right.
a student of
well,
him.
That's so good.
But if we live in accordance with them, with his teachings, then you truly are my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Notice that you only know the truth when you live in accordance with the word.
That's right.
See, you don't know it unless you do it. Oh, verse 32. You don't know it unless you do it. But if you live in accordance with the word, you'll know the truth.
Amen.
And the truth will set you free.
Amen.
See, the truth, the true knowing of the truth only comes by doing.
Yeah.
And the true freedom only comes by doing.
Right.
See?
Yeah. Right.
So we need to make sure that we're working with God. We're doing what he tells us to do. Let's look at Matthew 7. We're going to go through a bunch of scripture tonight. We love the word of God around here. That's the truth. That's the freedom. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about working with God tonight. Yeah. We're trying to figure out, and I believe all of us want to work with God, not against him. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if any of this corrects you, say, ouch, hallelujah. You know, I'm glad that I got something that will help me move forward and grow higher with God. You know, and if you're like, oh, man, you walk out of here, you're like, I'm doing that. And the devil's been telling you haven't been. You know, the devil will even tell me that I'm not. And I'm not saying like even me, but you see me standing before you tonight. I'm reading the word of God. I'm preaching a message to you, teaching you the scripture. You know, the devil still comes to me and tries to tell me you're failing. You're not doing enough for God. You're not a good Christian. You're not very spiritual. You're, you know, and still tries to beat me up every day on things like that. So if that's happening to you, if the devil tries to tell you you're not doing enough, you're not living right, you're not, you know, He does it to us all.
Yeah.
So be encouraged by that. And I say be encouraged by that. Be encouraged because you're not alone in that.
That's right.
All right, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, many people say that they're Christians. You know, I mean, I get this all the time. I am a school teacher also. And I see throughout the course of my year, almost 500 students, maybe more like 420 or something like that, I think is more accurate. But you know, a lot of students. And I would say the vast majority of them actually would consider themselves Christians. But most of them don't even go to church and don't even know anything about the Bible.
Right.
But some people think they're a Christian because their family was a Christian, because their family, you know, maybe in the past had gone to church. But see, if we're not doing the will of the Father, then we're not really Christ-like.
Yeah.
We're not really living like a Christian.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So we can say we are, but this culture kind of associates, you know, itself with Christianity. But this right here says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?
Yeah.
And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know that word lawlessness, it means sin. It means to live in unrighteousness. It means to do things that aren't in accordance with the word of God. You know, there's many Christians living that lifestyle. And if you're living in sin, don't, like I said, ouch, hallelujah. You know, I don't need to go around and say, what are you doing?
Right.
Yeah. You know in your heart if you're doing something that the Lord would rather you not do.
Right.
And your job is to correct it as best you can.
Right.
And if we can't fix everything right away, we do our best one step at a time. But he says, if you're practicing sin, lawlessness, unrighteousness, you're not really working with me.
Right.
I want to work in your life. But if you're doing this, you're going opposite direction.
Right.
I think this was the opposite direction over here. Although everybody's over here, so maybe I'll make this the walking away sign. No, but if we're practicing those things, we're not working with God.
Right.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Yeah.
It's wise to be a doer of the word. The word keeps us safe. The word keeps us strong and stable. And the word keeps us out of lawlessness. It keeps us living righteously and uprightly. So if you hear these sayings and do them, you're like a wise man building your house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
Amen.
The words are rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Have you ever built a sand castle? Ever been to the beach? Maybe you've gone to Presque Isle, maybe you've gone to the ocean, and you've built a sandcastle. You may have even spent a lot of time. You may have made it pretty. You may have even went away from the water, you know, enough where when the waves came, they weren't going to take it out. But if a little kid ran by that sandcastle, how many of you know it wouldn't take much for their foot to knock that whole thing over?
Yeah.
If, you know, if an animal came running by, if it started raining, or if a wave did slash up at that sandcastle, it would be gone, all gone. See, if we're not doing the word of God, that's our life. That's a picture of our life. If we're not living in accordance with the word, if we're not doing the word of God, it's the same thing as we've built this sandcastle and we're hoping that it'll stand. Wow. We're hoping it'll make it through the trial. We're hoping it'll make it through the storm. But because it's not sturdy, it's not strong, it's not founded on the word of God, it's gone.
Right.
First sign of trouble, it's gone. Yeah. And we don't want to be that way. That's working against God. We want to build our life on the rock, which is the word of God. So if we're not doing the word, we're not built on the rock.
Amen.
And Jesus said that, right? Jesus said it, and he meant it. He wouldn't have told us that for no reason. It's a very good example. We understand that a house built on a strong foundation, that's what we're doing around here. You know, the Lord put that on my heart last week during announcement time, that that's what we're doing here. So when you look around and you say, well, man, where are all the people? We're building a foundation. We're coming here in faith. We're bringing faith to Family Church Quarry. We're coming here and we're starting. We're building the foundation. And I said last week, I believe it was inspired from the Lord, we're the ones carving our initials in the foundation tonight. We're the ones who are here and years, 100 years from now, someone's going to come along and they're going to be like, oh man, so-and-so, RM was here. You know, DS was here, right? We're here. We're building that foundation. We're building this foundation for Family Church Quarry on the Word of God. And it's going to be strong. So you just have faith in that. Let's go ahead and look at John chapter 15. I love the word of God. We want to make sure that we're built on the word. We're built on the rock. We're not built on the sand or out of sand. You know, if you're built out of sand, when an unexpected bill comes in the mail, you're going to crumble. If you're built on the sand, when the doctor says there's cancer in your body, you're going to crumble. But if you're built on the rock, you'll say, oh no, the devil's not taking me out with that bill. The devil's not taking me out with that cancer. The devil's not taking me out with anything other than he's not taking me out. He's under my feet, right? We want to be built on the rock, the word. All right, John 15. I love the word, and this is so good here. John 15, verses 1 through 5, we're going to read here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That's what he does when he corrects us. He prunes us that it may bear more fruit. So when you get corrected in a service, you're like, oh, I'm being pruned. I'm just being pruned so I can be stronger, so those branches are stronger, so the dead stuff is cut off and the good stuff can grow and flourish. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Remember, live in me. Make my word of utmost importance. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So you can't bear fruit unless you're abiding in the word of God, unless you're abiding in Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. But you know this, that with God, all things are possible. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where is that in Scripture? Who knows it? That's part of our sword. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But for without me, you can do nothing. And we know from the Scripture, you know, that Jesus is the Word. So he's talking, he who abides in me, if you abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in you, you bear much fruit. And there's nothing that's impossible for you to do.
That's right.
But we know John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? So Jesus is the Word, been here since the beginning. So when we abide in him, it's talking about abiding in the Word. So we have to make sure that we connect these dots in Scripture. So abide in him, let his word abide in you. You know, here's, if you're a parent and you have kids who can make decisions for themselves, you know, they can talk, they can walk, they can go out, maybe they're even grown-ups, you know that there's been many times that you've given them your word, what to do. You've said, do this, go out and do this, and you've directed them, right? And if they've gone out and they've done the things you've directed them to do, typically they're pretty successful, right, at what they're trying to do. But if they've gone against what you've told them to do, and I'm looking at you boys now, a lot of times there's what? There's heartache, there's trouble. Maybe they got into a little more trouble than they would have if they just would have done it the way, you know, the person with wisdom gave them to do it. And that's what the word is doing. It's saying, look it, you can go out. You've got free will. You have free will. You can go out. You can make whatever decision you want. You can go out and you can do things whatever way you choose. Yeah. I am not your puppet master. I am not forcing you to do anything. You have free will. You can go out and do it. But if you do it the way I tell you, if you do it according to the word and the instruction I'm giving you, then you're going to be blessed. Right. But if you do it opposite of what I've guided you in, opposite of what I've told you to do, I can't promise you anything good.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't even know. I can't even tell you what's going to happen, but I tell you it's not this. Yeah. Right? And you may stumble upon good things here and there. You may. But the direction in the Word of God, that's our safety. Mm-hmm. That's our surefire way. That's the truth, right?
That's right. Amen.
See, that's how we can go through life and not have to go through trial after trial after trial to learn something.
Yeah.
If we're just smart and we're like, well, I'm going to be a doer of the Word and I'm going to stay out of trouble so that I can have what the Word promises me and I don't have to worry about cleaning up the mess later on.
Right.
Now listen, I had to clean up some mess. I didn't live according to the Word of God. I was raised opposite of the Word of God. Now, I had good parents who loved me, but they didn't teach me any principles in the Word of God. They didn't believe. They don't believe in the Word of God. So I learned, you know, the hard way on a lot of things. And we try to raise our kids up. I look at baby Sophia back there. She's going to get to know the Word from the get-go. Ezra, she's known the Word from the get-go. There's things that we can instill from the get-go. So we don't have to clean up those things later on. But if you're cleaning them up, well, that's all right. Stick with the Word. The Word cleans it up. The Word helps us to get through that. So you may have been that person, you know, who's used to like, yeah, I know there's wisdom there, but I like to do things my way. Well, say hallelujah and correct it, right? Let's move on past that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, think about this. If you have a job, which most adults in this room, I would say, well, everybody has a job, right? Even if you have a job that doesn't pay you something, you've got some sort of a job, right? You've got something in life you've got to accomplish. If you've got a job and you've got a boss and you... part of your job and part of you getting paid is doing what your boss tells you to do.
Yeah.
If you don't find out what your boss wants you to do, how successful are you going to be to do it? You're not. You're not going to know what to do. And you can go out and you can be like, well, I think I'll just do this today. What if I went to school? What if I went to my school and I was like, well, I don't really feel like teaching art today. I think today we're just going to clear out all the desks and have nap time. My boss would come in and be like, no, we didn't hire you to have nap time with all day long. We hired you to teach. Like, you're here to teach. You're here to do this. This is your job description. This is what you do. Well, the Word of God says this is your job description. This is how a Christian is supposed to live. This is what a Christian is supposed to do. This is how you do it. This is your surefire way to get, you know, the product that I've said. Right? And I'm not diminishing the importance of the Word of God by calling it a product. But our life is a product of what we do.
Yeah.
And so the product, if you want the product to look like the mirror, then you do what the mirror is showing you to do. Right? We get that. It's good. So you may be working hard. You may be struggling through life. You may be, trudging through and doing things your way and thinking, if I just keep going, I'll make it. But there's a surefire way, an easier way, and that's to do the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? That's how we work with God, not against Him. Let's go ahead and turn to Numbers 13, and we're going to look at the children of Israel. The children of Israel, they worked against God, okay? And He tried to get them on board. He tried to bless them, but they worked against Him, and we're going to see that. See, we may be thinking we're working with Him. We may be even thinking, well, I'm going to my Father. I'm asking for help. But if we're not doing what He shows us to do, we're working against Him. Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send me to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So the Lord spoke to Moses. He sent His word to Moses. Moses went and had the direction to bring to the people. We're going to skip down to verse 17. Then Moses sent them, because he did what the Lord told him, he sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, "Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not." Listen to this. "Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So Moses obeyed. He followed out his directive. He went to the people. He told them what to do. But notice he said, "Be of good courage."
Yeah.
Why did Moses say, "Be of good courage"? Well, he must have known there's probably going to be something there that looks like opposition. There's probably going to be something. Because Moses knew that whenever God had something to do, the devil always tries to stop
it. Right.
He always tries to scare you out of doing the will of the Father, right?
That's right.
Moses says, "Be of good courage." That means be of strength. It actually, courage means to withstand. Right. So he's saying, withstand. And by the way, bring back some of that fruit that's in that land, because I know there's fruit there. Because
yeah.
The Lord called us there. He said, "Go there. I know there's fruit there." So while you're standing, while you're withstanding, while you're staying strong and being encouraged, bring back some of the fruit.
Amen.
Yeah. And verse 21. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. I don't know all these words, guys. Ahiman, Shishai, Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now, I wanted to read this because I want you to understand this. The people of Anak, the descendants of Anak, they were giants. They were big people. You ever remember, I mean, when I was growing up, we watched WWF before they couldn't call it WWF anymore. you know, wrestling. And Andre the Giant. You remember Andre the Giant? I picture him. I picture him in this land, but a whole bunch of them. And so there's me, and I'm walking, and here's Andre the Giant. And you're like, no, I can't defeat him. I'm not going to be able. If you don't know him, look him up. I can't promise you you're going to find anything pleasant to view. I don't know. But it's a good visual of the people of Anak, right? The descendants of Anak. They were giants. They were strong. So Moses said, "But withstand. Be of courage. Be strong, you know, as you go to spy out this land." Okay. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. So picture this. These grapes are so large that there's two people having to carry a cluster of them.
Yeah.
Now, when I go to the supermarket, you could go over there to Walmart right now, I promise you, and you could get some grapes, and you can carry them with one hand.
Yeah.
You could probably carry those, a gallon of milk, and a few other things with one hand. But these men, there were two of them carrying this one cluster of grapes between a pole. You know, the grapes there were the size of prunes when you look it up. They were the size of prunes. And that word Eshcol, the Valley of Eshcol, actually means the cluster. It was named after these clusters of grapes. But anyway, so they were the size of prunes, which I think are about 5 or 6 times the size of a regular grape.
Yeah.
So imagine a cluster of prunes, okay? Kind of heavy. Probably don't want to smash them or drop them. So there's two men carrying them. That's how good the fruit of the land was, okay? They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now we're in verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then, so first they show him the fruit. Then they told him, and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." So the people did as Moses directed. They went out, they spied out the land, they brought back the fruit, they came back, but they did forget one direction that he told them. Let's keep going. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So they didn't do one thing. What's that one thing they forgot that Moses told them to do? Be of good courage. They were like, I'm afraid. Do you see all these people were there? Do you understand? Like, yeah, there's fruit, but I sure see a lot bigger giants than the size of this fruit, so to speak, right? But listen, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. No, Moses said to be strong, be of good courage. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. See, when we are like grasshoppers, easily defeated, feeling like the giants are way bigger than God is, then that's what the devil sees us as. Oh, I can defeat them because they're weak. They're weak. They're not of good courage. They're not strengthened. They don't even see themselves strengthened. So if they don't see themselves strengthened, if they don't see themselves as anything, if they don't see themselves as able, then I can defeat them. Easy. See, we want to work with God. We can't be like these Israelites who view ourselves as the weak one. We need to view the opposition as weak. Nothing's too big for my God. Nothing's too big for my God. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They said, I don't want to go God's way. I don't like God's way. God's way presents opposition. God's way has giants. God's way, though it has fruit, though it's got milk and honey, though it's everything he promised it would be, though he told me to be of good courage, though he sent his word to his people saying, be strong, withstand. I don't want to withstand.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to go back to what I know. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to go back and just be defeated over there, because at least I'm used to that defeat. Mm-hmm. I'm used to being a loser over here. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be a loser over here than be a loser some other way. Mm-hmm. Or I'd rather be a loser over here than even bother to go God's way. That's what his body of Christ is saying. That's what his body is saying every time they don't show up to church. That's what his body is saying every time they don't walk out of church doing the word that they heard.
That's right.
That's what his body's saying. They're like, let's just return to Egypt. It was so much easier living over here. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to try. We need to try. We need to be the people
right,
who
amen.
Say, God's on my side. Yeah. I don't care that there's giants. I don't care, Andre. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's right.
These people worked against God. Oh, praise the Lord. I know I'm not going to get through all this scripture. Hallelujah. Well, let's skip ahead here. Let's skip ahead. Acts 9. We're going to go to Acts 9. I love the word. There's so much word. And, you know, I was preparing this, and I knew I probably wouldn't get to all these scriptures. But, you know, it's encouraging anyway.
That's right.
And the Lord fed me as I prepared
Amen.
This.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. Let's go to Acts 9. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul's life a little bit, just a little bit, because I want to show you a contrast here. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to read. Don't pull it up or anything. I'm going to read the scripture I was about to have you turn to. It's Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. I want to read it in the Amplified. Now may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement, covenant, testament with us, may that God strengthen you, complete you, perfect you and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will.
Amen.
While he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight.
Glory to God.
Through Jesus Christ the Messiah,
Thank
to whom
you.
Be the glory forever and ever.
Praise
Amen.
Me.
May that God, the one who brought Jesus up from the dead, may that God equip you in order to do everything he's called you to do. Everything.
Amen.
See, if the people in Israel, if those Israelites had gotten hold of that, that this God, let him equip me, because he promised he'd equip the ones who he called to do it. If he's called you to do it, you've got the equipment.
Amen.
You've got the ability.
Amen.
It lives on the inside of you. If he's called you to work a job, you've got it. You got the equipment. If he's called you to pastor, you've got it. If he's called you to be a parent, you've got it. You've got the equipment. If he's called you to be a spouse, you've got the equipment for it. If he's called you to be a witness in your job, if he's called you to go out and win people for the kingdom, you've got the equipment. It's on the inside. Which, by the way, he's called all of us to do that.
Yeah.
He's called every single one of us to go to all the nations to make descendants, you know, and believers and disciples of Jesus Christ in all the nations. He's called us to do it. It's on the inside of us. The equipment to do it is on the inside of us. Every bit of it that we need. And I want to look at now Acts 9. This is the Apostle Paul's life. Praise the Lord. There's just so much in here. Then Saul, 9:1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women of the way of Christ, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Paul, he's working, he's Saul at the time, he's working against Christ. He's working against God. He is not working with him. He's working against him to persecute his people, to get murder papers so he can actually go out and destroy his people. As he journeyed doing this, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. I just love how good the Lord is here. He didn't care how much you were walking away from him. He didn't care how much you were working against him.
Yeah.
It did not matter. Paul was literally on the road to go do something completely opposite.
Yeah.
Completely. And this light shone him. God came right then and said, no, come my way instead.
Yeah.
I'll show you that. Verse 4. That light shone in Paul. He falls to the ground. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Do you know what a goad is? I had to look it up. I bet you you know what a goad is, right? It's like a piece of farm equipment, right? Dwayne probably knows what a goad is. It's like a big stick, and it's got a pointy end, and it's made of like iron or something, and they poke it like, go to the cattle, get, go, go. And it tries to nudge them in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, God's saying, why are you kicking against that? Why are you fighting against my direction for you? Why are you, it's so hard. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. Notice, it's way harder for you to work against God than it is for you to work with him.
Yeah, right.
It's way harder to go against him. So he, Paul, trembling, this is verse 6, and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, we could continue reading. We could spend years reading about the Apostle Paul's life. We could spend years studying his life. He wrote more than half of the New Testament after this, after he was working against God, but God came to him and he said, hey, stop working against me.
Yeah. That's right.
He got a word to him. He said, stop working against me. Just come the way I've shown you.
Yeah.
And so Paul came the way he showed him, started working with him, wrote more than half of the New Testament, got countless people saved, started church after church after church, raised up pastors, won people for the kingdom of heaven. And I know he's wearing a soul winner's crown in heaven, and his word still speaks, and his life and his testimony still speaks right here in Corey, Pennsylvania, all these years later.
Amen.
Because he chose at that moment to work with God.
Amen.
It did not matter. This is such an example of, you could be completely opposite of the word of God, completely opposite of God, and in that one moment you decide to change it.
That's right.
All goes another
That's
way.
Good,
so we could continue reading, we could see that. You know, here's the thing. This is what the Lord showed me this week. You can be on a path, and you can have one foot on the path. Anybody ever gone hiking? You got one foot on the path, and you're kind of in the woods and on the other side, and you can keep one foot on the path, and you can walk that way. But if you're 1 foot on and 1 foot off, it's sure easy. I've been to the gorge. You ever been to the gorge? Those are narrow paths. The Chautauqua Gorge, you've been there? They're narrow paths. I could keep my foot on the path and 1 foot off the path, but it's going to be really easy to fall off into the cliff. It's going to be real easy to fall off that path. Or I could keep 1 foot on and 1 foot off, but it's going to be real easy to stumble upon some poison ivy. It's going to be easy. Or I could get on the path, it could stay in the middle, and I could keep going on that path, and it's going to be a lot easier on me. It's going to be a lot easier. It's a lot easier to stay on the path that he shows us than for us to be 1 foot on, 1 foot off. Because it's way easier to fall off when 1 foot's on and 1 foot's off. So tonight we want to decide we get both feet in the path. Yeah. We have both feet walking in the same direction, walking on the middle of the road, walking with Jesus, doing the word of God, so that we can be sure that we're not stumbling.
That's right.
Okay? I heard this too, and I know my time is running short here, but I heard this on the announcements at school this week. There was an event that was scheduled, and it said, due to a lack of participation, the event is canceled.
Wow.
Whew! And I'm sitting there at my desk, and I'm like, oh man, I don't want the Lord to ever say that to me. Due to a lack of your participation, I can't do what I intended to do. We can't go where I intended to go. We can't have those miracles I intended for you to have due to a lack of participation. Due to a lack of participation, canceled.
Come on.
I do not want the Lord to say that to me. Due to a lack of your participation, this person died. Due to a lack of your participation, they never made it to heaven. Due to a lack of your participation, this person went without. Due to a lack of your participation, this marriage fell apart.
That's
due
right.
to a lack of participation, this church never grew. Due to a lack of participation, your husband failed. Due to a lack of participation, your kids are living in the world.
Wow.
Due to a lack of your participation, what's that participation? Doing the word. We need to participate with the word of God.
That's
we need
right.
to participate and do what he's called us to do. I never want to hear that.
Right.
And the Lord spoke that very clearly in my heart, not audible, but in my heart. I was like, that was like ouch, hallelujah moment.
Yeah.
Like, am I participating in all that God has for me to participate in?
So good.
I don't want to miss it.
Yeah, right.
And this is not to scare us. It's just to encourage us to go higher.
Yeah.
Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. You can't work with God and against him at the same time. You either work with him or you work against him. And we're all here tonight because we want to be doers of the word. We're all here tonight because we want to grow in the things of God. We're all here tonight with the same heart. We're here. We came here for a reason. And so I encourage you tonight, we want to make sure that we're doing what he called us to do.
Amen.
And I know I gotta like skip all this, but it's so good. So good. Maybe someday we'll get back to some of this. Or maybe it'll be in a faith fix. I want to finish here. 1 Corinthians 3:9-13. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. We've got the rock, the word of God. It's here for us. We're building a foundation. But we need to take heed. How are we going to build up on that foundation?
Yeah.
Are we going to build? We got the sturdy foundation. You're coming to a church that preaches the word of God. I don't say that because I'm up here standing here. I say it because the word of God is being preached.
Amen.
And anywhere that the word of God is being preached and explained and opened up and revealed to you, that's a solid foundation.
That's right.
And that's where everybody needs to be. And unfortunately, the body of Christ as a whole doesn't even know that. They haven't even been told that that foundation that their church is building in them really matters. So it does matter where you go to church. It matters. I've had people say to me, I went to church my whole life and I never even got saved. I didn't even know what salvation was because the foundation wasn't the rock. The foundation wasn't the word. The foundation was the tradition of man. The foundation was, you know, our social program.
Wow.
Here you're getting a foundation of the word of God.
Amen.
And I can say that with assurance that it's a foundation of rock and
Amen.
Stability.
Because
the
right.
word is our rock and it's our stability.
That's right, amen.
So you're getting this foundation of rock, of stability. How you go out and leave this service, and every service that you come in and get fed the word.
Yeah.
How you go out and what you build on top of that foundation matters.
Amen.
So if you take now sand, and you start building buckets of sand and making cinder blocks of sand on that foundation, all of it's going to crumble down. Yeah. And you may have a foundation, but you're not going to do much with it unless you build and build and build with something strong on top.
That's right.
And we do that by going out there and being doers of what we
That's
hear.
Right.
Let's keep reading. I'll finish it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, for each one's work will become clear. For the day that Jesus comes back, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So we're called to work together with God. And someday, everybody's going to know what foundation, what you've built on top of that foundation. When Jesus comes back, is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You built a strong house, and you've blessed many with this. And you've gone out and you've done the work, and you've not fallen apart. You've not crumbled under the pressure. You've not crumbled under the storms. You've built a sturdy house, a sturdy temple for my return. We want to be those people.
Amen.
We want to be those who build rock upon rock upon rock. And I guess I lied. We're going to do one more here. Galatians 6:4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Let's examine tonight, and as we go out our week, let's examine our own work. What are we doing? What are we doing with our life? Are we building on the foundation with stone? Are we going out there and we're getting both feet on the path? Are we going out there and we're saying, I'm participating with God. I am not letting it be canceled on account of my lack of participation. I'm going on with God. I'm going to run faster. I'm going to run harder. I'm going to stay on that path. I'm not going to have one foot on and one foot off. I'm not running into poison ivy. I'm not falling off the cliff. I'm not having the waves come and smash down my house. I am built on a rock and founded on a rock, and I'm growing that way. Hallelujah.